Proverbs chapter 6. We've been looking at this chapter now. We started with the admonition to not be a surety for your neighbor. And we went all through what that meant. But as a review, we're going to look now, or what we're coming up to now, is the character of the sluggard. But as a review, here's an outline of chapter 6. And chapter 6 of Proverbs contains warnings. It's made up entirely of warnings. First, it's the warning against giving your MasterCard to somebody else and saying, just go buy whatever you want with it. Unlimited liability. Don't put yourself in a position where you will have unlimited liabilities. Now we're approaching 6 through 11, which we'll talk about laziness. And we'll meet that lovable character, the sluggard. Worthlessness in 12 through 15, worthlessness is kind of a vague term, mischief maker, troublemaker, that kind of a thing is what will be the idea in those verses. And then we'll find 7 things that God hates in verses 16 through 19. And then we get back to the topic of adultery in verse 20. And that's where we left off in chapter 5. So chapter 6, the first part of it, is pretty much an appendix. And then we get back to the main topic itself of adultery. And we'll see that as we go through it. Now, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the lazy person, or the sluggard, as he's called in the book of Proverbs. And he's pictured in kind of a tragic yet comic way. We'll find that some of the things he does are absolutely laughable, and I think that's why we can identify so well with him, because he makes foolish mistakes, he does outlandish things. Look at Proverbs 26, for example. Proverbs 26 and verse 14 is one of those. And this one just kind of makes you laugh. I mean, it's comical. It says, as the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. Now stop and think about that for a minute. He's not only anchored to his bed, he's hinged to his bed. And that's, you got to admit, if you picture that in your mind, it's kind of humorous. You know, he tries to get up and he rolls over and whoops, I'm still tired, and he rolls back. So he's hinged to his bed. Just like a door won't work without hinges, a sluggard can't work without his bed. Got to have his rest. Think about sheer animal laziness. Think about a cat. From a house cat all the way up to lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, no, bears aren't a cat. Lions and tigers and cats, what do you see cats doing? Laying in the sun, chilling, good way to put it. Just hanging out, not doing anything. And that's the picture of the sluggard. He's hinged to his bed. He has preposterous excuses. And these are also comic. Look at 26:13, for example. The sluggard says, there's a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square. In other words, he doesn't want to go out and go to work, so, oh man, there might be a lion out there. You know, you never know. I sometimes hardly make it here because I'm afraid there might be a lion between my house and church. That's the kind of thing that the sluggard comes up with for an excuse. They're preposterous. And yet, he ends up believing his own excuses, as we'll see. But in the end, we'll find out that it's not really funny. And we laugh about it, and we laugh about the things he does, and we can all identify to some extent with the things he does. And yet, his end is very tragic, and we'll see that in chapter 6 of Proverbs. In verse 11, it tells us, your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. So his end is not comical at all. His end is tragic. So this is one of those comic, tragic kind of things that we find in the book of Proverbs. His command in verse 6 is very simple. Proverbs 6:6 says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise." Now stop and think about that for a minute, because that's very interesting, because we're told that we can learn something about wisdom from creation. We can learn something about wisdom from God's creation. Here it's the ant. We have something to learn from the ant. Now look over at Proverbs 30. In Proverbs 30 and verse 25, where it says, "The ants are not strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer." We're going to find out what the sluggard does in a moment. Look at Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12 and verse 7 and 8, where it says, "But now ask the beasts, let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens, let them tell you." Again, we're learning from God's creation. And we're learning very practical things here, especially in Proverbs. Very practical book. It's not a book of biblical promises. Always remember that. It's a book of object lessons and how to lead a skillful life. That's Proverbs. It's not a book of biblical promises. You can do everything right and still have your whole life turned upside down. We find that in the book of Job because it answers that difficult question. How come tragedies occur to God's children? Job did everything right, and yet his life was a total ruin in human eyes. In God's eyes, it was a total success. And Job went to his grave. As far as we know, Job went to his grave without ever knowing why his troubles came on him. And yet he did not abandon God. He did not curse God. He did not blame God. So in God's eyes, he lived a perfectly exemplary life because he proved to Satan, and Satan and God were in the heavens, remember, arguing. Satan said, "People just like you because you do good things for them." God said, "Okay, I'll take the fence away from Job. You go there and give him some trouble. Don't kill him, but give him some trouble. And we'll see if he still likes me." And he did, all the way through to the very end. Back to our topic of creation, we can learn from creation and we can learn very practical lessons. Now in Proverbs 6, the ant will be characterized in three ways. The ant will be characterized by industry, foresight, and preparation. And those three qualities are lacking in the sluggard. Now, each of these qualities will appear in Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. Let's read those verses before we start into the details. It says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man." So industry, foresight, and preparation can prevent that in most cases. Again, it's not a book of biblical promises. It's a book telling us how to live a good life, a life that's skillful and one in which God will be happy. So in these qualities of the ant, this industry, this foresight, this preparation, we can live, or we can use, to live life skillfully. We can use this information. Now, notice again, the focus is on a lifestyle. It's not random acts, but a lifestyle. Because in Proverbs 6:6, it says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways." And remember, we talked about that word ways before, and it talks about a lifestyle, a way of living. It's what Solomon is telling us to do, or his sons in particular, is to observe the lifestyle of the ant, because we can learn from it. And if we learn the lessons from the ant, we can become wise. First, we need to look at the recipient of these instructions. Who is this addressed to? Well, verse 6 tells us very clearly, the sluggard. Go to the ant, O sluggard. So the recipient of these instructions is the sluggard. The Hebrew word translated sluggard is the word atzel, and atzel is a word, interestingly enough, it's only used in the book of Proverbs. You find it nowhere else in the Old Testament, the word sluggard or atzel in Hebrew. But in Proverbs, it's used 16 times. So Proverbs, as I said before, is going to have a lot to say about laziness, about the sluggard. He's going to be addressed, he's going to be described, he's going to be exhorted, he's going to be warned. All of those things to the lazy person. And I think it's emphasized so much in Proverbs because it was so prevalent, as it still is. We still have a culture full of lazy people, sluggards. Let's look at his character a little bit. What's he like? First thing to notice about the sluggard is he doesn't start things. He's very poor at getting things going. We find that in Proverbs 6:9, where it says, "How long will you lie down, O sluggard?" So, how long? When will you arise from your sleep? You know what? Those questions are way too specific, too definite. He doesn't know. I just want to rest a little more. Just a little while more. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to rest in verse 10. A little, a little, a little. That's the sluggard. I just want to rest a little while. Then I'll get started. But he never does. Now notice, he doesn't actually refuse to work. He just says, okay, I'll go do that. I just need a little rest first. Just a little nap. You know what, when I read this at first, I thought, you know what? And I remember, some of you may not remember times like this, but I remember when alarm clocks didn't have snooze buttons on them. You know that? Do you remember that? And they clanged, they'd wake everybody in the three-house radius when they went off. You know, now we have these little buzzers that are very gentle, soft, and we have a button that we can push and sleep 10 more minutes. Just a little while. Just a little more rest. A little more folding of the hands. I can't wake up so suddenly. I can't come into the world so rapidly. I think the guy that invented the snooze alarm had read Proverbs. And he says, I'm going to have a giant market for this gizmo. And guess what? He was absolutely right. Just a little. 10 more minutes? What difference is that going to make? Not only does the sluggard slow to start, once he does start, he doesn't finish. And this gets really ridiculous. The effort of beginning is too much for him. The impulse passes, and what happens? Look over at chapter 12 and verse 27. And here's a classic example. A lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. So he doesn't roast his prey. What does that mean? Well, somehow the sluggard has managed to get up the gumption to get out his gear, go set in a field and shoot a deer, say, for example. He brings it home. Then what does he do? Well, that was pretty tiring. I need a little nap. So he takes a little nap. Then he takes another little nap and another and another and another. And pretty soon, what happens? The deer is rotting in his garage. That's the sluggard. You know, once he gets something started, he can't finish it. And this gets ridiculous. He starts a vineyard, but when it comes to weeding it, and you got to weed a vineyard, well, that's work. So he doesn't do it. Look at Proverbs 24. This is the wise man speaking. He says, I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. Those are the same people. The sluggard is the guy who lacks sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. He has a harvest of weeds. Why? He got it started. He planted his vineyard. But man, that's tiring work. I can't weed it too. I need a little rest first. And a little more rest and a little more. And pretty soon he has my backyard. A harvest of weeds. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. We'll say no more about that. Look at Proverbs 19. Let's get off these embarrassing parts. In Proverbs 19, now this is absolutely absurd. I mean, this is where the sluggard gets to be the comic figure. It says in verse 24 that the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Now, is that lazy or what? He gets the food in his hand. I'm going to take a nap first. He's gone. That's the comic side of the sluggard. And we can all identify to some degree. I mean, we don't. Obviously, I get the food to my mouth. And, you know, the sluggard, he can't do that. He doesn't. It's just too hard. He's just too tired to finish. Remember the poem I had up there at the beginning at the bottom of the screen? That's, you know, about the dog that was howling because he was sitting on a thorn and too tired to move over. That's the sluggard. He gets his hand to the food, just can't get it to his mouth. His entire existence is just this tangled mess of unfinished jobs. So he doesn't start things. Once he does get started, he doesn't finish things. Now, he won't even face things. The sluggard has at his disposal, and he uses every available excuse to avoid work. You know, he eventually comes to believe in his own excuses. And I kind of chuckle when I say he has every conceivable excuse not to do work. I have the B card. It's my back. The sluggard comes up with some doozies, though. We looked at it in 26:13. Why doesn't he get up out of bed? Or why doesn't he go out to work? There might be a lion out there. In 26:13. And that's getting pretty absurd. The sluggard says there is a lion in the road. A lion in the open square. I'm not going outside. Since I can't go outside, I might as well lay down a while. Watch some TV. Eat some potato chips. maybe there really is a lion out there. You know, he starts believing this stuff. In his own eyes, the sluggard is smarter than seven men with discernment. We're in 26. Look at verse 16 where it says the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. Now, give a discreet answer is literally, from the Hebrew, return discernment. Where do you get discernment? Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 66. We get discernment from God. Verse 66 says, "Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments." So the Word of God teaches discernment. That's where you get it. The only place. It comes only from God, and it's the only place to get it. And the word discernment in Psalm 119:66, that's exactly the same word as discreet back in Proverbs 26. Same word is used. Smarter in his own mind than seven men that return discernment. And discernment comes only from God. So what can we conclude from that? He doesn't know God's word. Or if he does, he ignores it. The sluggard is the guy who's always going to take the easy way out. He doesn't plow after autumn. 20 verse 4. 20 and verse 4. The sluggard does not plow after autumn. So he begs during the harvest and has nothing. So what happens? He won't plow after it's too cold. And that's a decision that he makes. Now, decisions have consequences. The consequence of that decision is that he has nothing to do. He has nothing left after the harvest. He doesn't have any food, so he has to beg. So he limits his working time in order to get enough rest. God's word makes a definite link between working and eating. That's God's welfare program. Now, don't misunderstand. These are people who can work but won't work. And I'm not going to go into a big rampage about homeless people here. Taking pictures of the president's wife on their BlackBerry. But look up at 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, and you all know this verse, chapter 3 and verse 10. So this is displayed in the New Testament as well. So you can't say, well, that's Proverbs, it's Old Testament, doesn't apply. That's not exactly true of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of object lessons. It's not a book of Mosaic law. And in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, it says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." Now, you have to take that in context. Does that mean that we stop all charity? Well, that guy's not working. You know, never mind that he's in the hospital and is a bilateral amputee or quadrilateral amputee. He's not working, so I'm not going to support him. That's not what this verse is saying. And if you read verse 11, you can see that because it says "for." That means this is an explanation of what he's just said. He said, if somebody doesn't work, don't let him eat. "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Those are the sluggards. They don't work because they can't work. They work because they don't want to work. And the classic tale, of course, everybody has a classic tale of something like this, but this one is absolutely true. It's happened up in Lincoln. There's a Big Ape auto parts store up there. And every day this guy would come with a sign that said, "I'll work for food." You know, and he never went anywhere to work. The people just gave him money. And somebody quit at the Big A store, so they went out. They went out on the street and said, "Hey, listen, we got a job opening here. You want it?" "Oh, no, I make a lot more out here than I could in there." That is a true story, and that's the sluggard. He doesn't want to work. He is a beggar because he wants to be a beggar for no other reason. So don't go running around saying, "Well, Jim said we shouldn't give charity to anyone." That's not true. This doesn't talk about people who need a hand. It's talking about people who don't need a hand but want one anyway. And that's what this is all about. This is the sluggard. He's just too lazy to work. The consequences is that he's a beggar. Now, we're going to get his lesson, that is the lesson of the ant, next hour. So we'll pick up then at verse 7 of Proverbs 6. We had one, well, part of a verse. We'll go back to verse 6 too. And we'll catch that next hour. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this lesson on the wisdom of industriousness and hard work. And we pray that we can take this lesson to heart and that we can work hard no matter what our job is or what we do, but we do our work as to you, and that in so doing, we can lead lives that are pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen.